Matthew 4 verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In the temptation in the wilderness, the Savior was led out of the Spirit. There he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. He was hungry. And the devil came, the tempter came, it says in verse 3, and tempted him. As some do today, they teach that, that Jesus could have sinned. And if that's true, then we need to quit teaching and preaching that Jesus is deity. Jesus wasn't tempted in the wilderness to find out whether he was going to stand steadfast or not. That's already determined. He's the exalted, pure, holy Son of God, God in the flesh. And there was no sin there. There was never going to be, never will be, the perfect, sinless Son of God. In Psalm 119, verses 9 and through 11, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Word of God is very important. It's extremely important. It's absolutely essential to the Christian faith, salvation, and life. Without the pure, powerful Word of God, we would be adrift in a sea of confusion, exactly as we see the world and much of so-called Christianity today. Because they don't have a Bible. They don't know where the Bible is at. They believe that God inspired some original manuscript somewhere. Those have been lost. And that there's nothing left but the intelligence of some learned people to tell us where God's Word is. That is akin to the Catholic confusion that's been around for many years, many centuries. To our salvation, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. You see, I know that I'm saved because the Bible tells me so. Isn't that something that we teach our children in Bible school? And the first things that they learn, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. You wouldn't know that, I wouldn't know that. Nobody knows that God loves them except the Bible tells them so. What about faith? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Is the Word of God important? You better believe it's important. I'm so lost I don't even have the ability to come up with a faith. God imparts the faith through the hearing and reading of His Word. What about our life? And that brings us back to our text. Jesus was tempted in this, and the tempter said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." By the way, that would have been very easy for our Lord. Would have been no difficulty whatsoever to turn the stones into bread. Would have been no difficulty to turn the whole world into a loaf of bread if He wanted to. He created everything that there is. He spoke it into existence, John chapter 1, verse 1, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without anything, without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ. He would have had no trouble making bread out of stones. But He didn't. He didn't. And Christ was tempted in Hebrews 4:15. It says, "In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God for what a wonderful Savior we have. In 1 John 2:15, 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." These three points right here, Jesus, which we only read the first one, we won't take time to read them all, the other two, but Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. And every temptation will come your way will come under these three points. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible says that's all that's in the world. That's everything. And Jesus showed us in this temptation how we can be victorious. In temptation. And live a victorious life. You see, the Word of God, Jesus said, very first one, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's a quotation from Deuteronomy 8:3. Which says in the entire verse, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus sits by the well, and the woman of Samaria comes and they talk. When his disciples returned with food, they offered to him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And again he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." There are things in this life that are far more important than physical food. That are far more important than the comfort of this flesh. Far more. In 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I can look at a loaf of bread, and if I'm hungry, I'm looking at something that's seen, but before too long, it's not going to be seen anymore if I'm hungry, right? And that's the same with everything in this world that we can see with our eyes is temporal. Every one of you out there is temporal. I'm temporal. If the Lord tarries, it's going to be a day they're going to lay my bones in the ground. I'm not going to be around forever, not on this earth. But the things that are not seen, the Bible says, those are eternal. How can we know about the unseen things which are eternal except by the Word of God? That's the only way we can know. There's no other way to know the unseen things. And yet the Bible teaches us those are the most important things. Not food that we need to sustain physical life, but the food that we need to sustain spiritual life. The food that we need to turn our eyes away from this old temporary corrupted world and turn our eyes upon the eternal things of God. We need those things. Jesus, by quoting Scripture, authenticated it as Scripture, the Word of God. And He also emphasized the exceeding importance of the Word. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Notice in that verse it says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And I submit to you tonight that I judge from Matthew 4:4 that if every word of God is essential to my life, then I have every word of God. It's not missing. What kind of a Savior, what kind of a God of love would we have if He tells us you need this and then says, or neglects to give it to us? know, you hear people talking about, oh yes, God loves me. God's a God of love. But I don't want to jump around on too much doctrine tonight and cause any trouble, but if you want to lose your salvation, go ahead and do it. Mine's secure. Mine's secure. But there are folks who say, you know, God's a God of love, but I don't know whether I'm going to go to heaven or not. I'll find out when I get to pearly gates. Well, you're never going to see the pearly gates if you're waiting that long. And that's not a God of love who would allow that kind of a situation to take place. My God is the kind of God of love who paid for my salvation and who then recorded it in His Word, in His book, and He gave it to me. And it is secure in that Word. And my salvation is based entirely upon His Word, upon His promise. And I can tell you without any shadow of a doubt tonight, I am going to heaven. I have a home in heaven. An inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. Because the Bible tells me so. That's the God of love. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so I must judge, if that's what Jesus says I need, then that is exactly what He will provide for me. In Psalm 84:11 it says, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You believe that? A lot of folks that don't. A lot of folks that don't, because Jesus said, every word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is absolutely necessary for your life. In fact, it's more necessary than bread, than steak, than potatoes. And yet many say, well, He hasn't given us that. We don't have it. We can only hope to somehow strive to get it back to its original condition. I hope that you've got your Bibles open tonight and are following along and don't trust me, but are weighing everything that I say by thus saith the Lord. Because you better not trust me any farther than you trust the fellows telling you don't have a Bible. You better believe that God's given you His Word, and you better trust that. You better base everything, you better judge everything by what this book says. Will God withhold any good thing? No, He will not withhold from them any good thing. Listen to Proverbs 3:27. A commandment to us, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Do you hear that? God has told each and every one of us in His Word that if there is good that we can do for somebody else, if it's in the power of man to do good unto another man, that we are not to withhold that good from any man. Is it in the power of God to give us His Word and to preserve it unto every generation? Why in the world would He tell us to do something and wouldn't do it Himself? Well, the fact of the matter is, He has done it. He has done it. He's preserved every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and I have it in this book. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. That means every word of God. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. And that's not a promise made by man. That's a promise made by God. That He'll provide all of our needs. And Jesus told us of a need that we have here in Matthew 4:4. And that is, we need every word of God. Let me tell you, when it says every word, you know what that means in the Greek? Every word! Doesn't mean every concept. I don't have a concept Bible. I have every word of God. By the way, this is the Dean Burgon Society meeting, and I'm talking about the King James Version. King James Bible. It is absolutely essential. And I've done my best to preach and teach and instill in our people that God has given us graciously the oversight of in Grafton, that they have in their hands, when they hold the King James Bible, every word of God, and that they can read it and study it in their own language, and they have everything that is absolutely necessary for them to live. Even above their very food, the bread and the meat and drink. Have every word. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You have that kind of trust and faith? Listen. If you allow a man to come along and to take out of your hands, out of your heart rather, your confidence in this book, then you have nothing. Because the only thing left is what you can see. And that is temporary. It's going to wind up in the grave. Just like I'm going to wind up in the grave if the Lord tarries. And you, every last one of you. Every word of God is necessary for us to live. And we need not just to defend the King James and the Masoretic Hebrew, the Old Testament, and the received text of the Greek. But we need to understand that we have that transmitted to us perfectly in the English, in the King James Version, and we then need to take it and preach it, teach it, study it, devour it, read it, heed it, obey it, because one day Jesus is going to open this book and He's going to judge me out of it. He's going to judge my works. I'm absolutely confident that the Lord Jesus Christ is not ever going to open up the Word of God in heaven. Whether at the great white throne or whether at the judgment seat of Christ, He's never going to open it up and face anybody and say, "Well, that would have been better translated." He's going to say, "You had it just the way I said. Exactly what I said is exactly where I'm going to judge you." Otherwise, He has no room to judge, does He? None whatsoever. But God is going to open that book, and He's going to judge every man out of it, because we have it just as He gave it.